We've been looking at Bible windows, and first week we looked at Rahab, and we looked at salvation through the window of Rahab, and we discovered the Lord that can be trusted for salvation is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. Beside Him, there is no other. We discovered that life is transformed by salvation. Not only does the Lord want to save us and send us on our way to heaven, but the purpose of that salvation is to be transformed as we live this life. And we looked at Rahab and we saw what she had been and how she was transformed into a brand new creation. And that happens to all of us. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we have a glorious future that awaits us. And then we also looked at the line that was a token of salvation. That scarlet thread that she hung down through her window represented the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And His blood that was shed is the only way that we can have forgiveness of sins. It is the only thing that God will accept as the sacrifice, as the payment for our sins. And then last week we looked at storms through the window of Noah, and we discovered that when you look out at the storm, it can shake your faith. But if you redirect and move outside the ark and you look into the ark, you will discover that looking in can settle your faith. Because when we look in, we see the Lord and we see Him in the middle of our storms with us. He's in the boat with us. He's in the ship. And then there was one last look, and that was the look upward. And the look upward, looking up through the window and the ark, can actually strengthen our faith. And today, I'd like to begin with a recent story. Wednesday, August 1st, seemed to be like a day like any other in St. Paul, the Minneapolis area. But what happened at 6:05 p.m.? The bridge collapsed. In the midst of rush hour traffic, the busy interstate bridge that joined I-35 with the city of Minneapolis suddenly broke apart and fell into the Mississippi River. Due to some construction that was taking place on the bridge, the traffic was not at the normal full flow or speed that it sometimes is. The grace of God, I think, was seen in the school bus, filled with 50 children who rode that bridge, that concrete, on its way down to collapsing. The bus didn't tip over. All the children were spared. But there's Matthew's story. He was coming home to take a shower and then pick up a friend across the I-35 bridge. He headed into the city of Minneapolis. It was bumper to bumper. Today I'd like to talk to you about deliverance through the window of the King of Israel. The window of deliverance that's told in the story of Joash, the king of Israel. Would you turn, please, to 2 Kings chapter 13? And as I prepared for the message today, I thought, there's no way that I was going to be able to complete this today. We would literally be here till whatever time George was talking about. And so I didn't think anybody really wanted to stay that long, except for maybe a couple of you who wouldn't stone me. So so I thought we'd divide this up into two parts, all right? So we'll divide it up into a couple parts. We had communion and things today, and I've gone over this, and I've eliminated things, and I just got to the point where I didn't feel like I could eliminate anything else. And so rather than try to rush through it this morning, we'll take a couple of weeks to look at this. 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning with verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot, and he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Our text verse really is verse 17, because that is the verse that mentions the window. He said, Open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot, and he shot, and he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. We pray, Lord, that it would be a help to us. For those who find themselves in a place where they need deliverance, I pray that the message today would bring faith in their heart. Lord, I also want to pray for Ken Witt as he was taken to the hospital last night. Lord, be with him. Touch him. Heal him. Bring deliverance to his body, Lord, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This story takes place about the time the prophet Elisha is about to die. Prior to this, there was a long line of evil kings in the northern tribes of Israel, beginning with Jeroboam until now. As the 11th king, Jehoaz, takes the throne, beginning of 2 Kings chapter 13. The scripture tells us that he also was an evil king and that he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, who led Israel astray. Under the 17-year reign of his, Israel moved further and further away from the Lord in the worship of Baal and other false gods. And because of their idolatry, the Bible says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the Syrians. Two kings in particular, Hazael and later his son Ben-Hadad. The Syrians began to oppress Israel and began to move them out of their cities and out of their homes. The oppression was so great that they finally began to call out to the Lord. I heard a story one time about a deacon meeting. And the pastor said, We have a grave situation. We are going to have to pray about it. And one of the deacons says, Oh no, it's finally come to that. May I suggest that the first thing we do about any situation is to pray about it. Don't wait until we're in dire straits to call upon the name of the Lord. Israel would always get to that place time and time again when there was no way that they could humanly possibly solve their problem. Then they would begin to call on the name of the Lord. And that's what happened here. Isn't it in the middle? Right in the middle of their worship of Baal and these other false gods, that when trouble came, they knew who to go to. They knew who to call on. Things got bad enough, they could always turn to the God of Israel. They could always turn to Jehovah God. They didn't turn to the golden calves of Baal, but they began to cry out to the Almighty God. And you know, we're kind of like that sometimes too. Maybe you've known people that have grown apart from God, and then something comes into their life and they need God, and all of a sudden they start coming back to church. You know, they didn't have time for God before, but now things are happening in their life, and they have to find time for God because he's the only one that could help them in their time of need. Well, the Lord allowed this oppression to happen to get the attention of Israel. Oftentimes, God allows things to come into our lives to get our attention and to get our focus back on where it should be, to get our focus back on him. The Lord got the attention of Jehoaz, and he besought the Lord that he would remove the oppression of the Syrians. He cried out for a deliverer, and the scripture says that God did send a deliverer. Now, there are two parts to deliverance. There is God's part, and there's also our part. Today, we're going to look at God's part in our deliverance. And as I said at the beginning of this series, I'm preaching not just to give you principles. These are not just nice stories. These are stories and principles that I hope can bring about transformation in our lives. So as we go through this, we're going to become very practical, and we're going to have some times when we literally cry out to God for his deliverance. First of all, let's look at God's part in our deliverance. I'm glad that when we have a deliverer, that we have somebody that we can go to in time of need. God always has been a deliverer, especially to his people. He is the God of deliverance. He delivered the children of Israel from Egypt with 10 mighty plagues. And by the way, did you know that every single one of those plagues was directed at an Egyptian god? He was showing his power over the Egyptian gods. And so he delivered his people from Egypt with these 10 mighty plagues and then that Red Sea crossing. He delivered Lot from the city of and destruction of Sodom. He delivered the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. And let me say that God can deliver you from the furnace, or he can deliver you in the furnace. Okay? Sometimes people have to go through the furnace and they find their deliverance in the furnace, because that's the only way they're going to learn the lesson that God has for them. But either way, I want you to know that God loves you. Either way, whether he brings you deliverance from going through the furnace or whether he makes you go through the furnace and he's in that furnace with you, either way, he loves you. And he knows what's best for you in your situation. He delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale. He delivered the apostle Peter from prison. He delivered Paul and Silas from prison. God is our deliverer. There is no circumstance, there is no crisis situation that he cannot bring you through. In fact, let me read you some scriptures, and as I read you these scriptures on him being a deliverer, just let faith fill up in your soul. Job chapter 5 and verse 19, he shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. That's just saying that God's not going to just stop with delivering you 7 times. It's 7 is the number of perfection. God will take you through as many trials as you need to go, as many troubles as is necessary, but he will keep you in the midst of those, and no evil shall touch you. He will deliver you. Psalm 91 and verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Could we say a way of deliverance? He will make a way of deliverance so that you do not have to succumb to that temptation. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from some evil works. No, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know your situation? You don't know how to deal with it. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to escape it. God knows. He knows how to do it. If we would just trust him and let his ability to deliver us be the work that we depend on. Our God is a delivering God. He knows just what to do when we have a problem in our life and we call out to him. So we're going to pause right here. We have 3 action points in this message. This is the first one. We're going to pause and we're going to ask God to open the window of heaven, because that's what this series is about. We're going to ask God to open the window of heaven and bring deliverance to you through your circumstances or crisis situation. Now, it might be that he will take you right smack through that circumstance or that situation. Or he might deliver you from it so that there is a way around it. Either way, he wants to bring deliverance. We talked a few Sunday nights ago about the mountains being the way. Sometimes the mountains, sometimes the rough places in life are the way that we have to go. It's not the way that we would choose, but it's the way that God has chosen, because God knows that we need it. His way is best. So I want you to think right now in your life, is there a situation where you need deliverance? You need the windows of heaven to come open, and you need God to shoot his arrow of deliverance to bring you through your crisis or your circumstance. I want you to think about that right now, and I want you to pray about it. Let's pray together. You pray, you've got your own needs, I've got my own needs. You just let God know what those needs are and ask him to come and be your deliverance. Our God is our deliverer. Father, we just pray right now that you would open the windows of heaven. And Lord, you would shoot your arrow of deliverance, that you would show yourself strong, that you would show yourself to be the God of deliverance. Lord, there are people here today that are facing crisis situations. They have circumstances that are beyond their ability to go through. Lord, we ask for your divine, supernatural deliverance. Lord, we ask for your help. Your word says that we need to call upon you in the day of trouble, and you will hear us and you will deliver us. We call upon you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is God who delivers. And he pledges his arrow of deliverance. Elisha, old and sick, in a weakened condition, raises himself up from his bed with great effort. There is that old familiar prophetic fire burning in the eyes of Elisha as he begins to speak to young Joash. And as the Spirit leads the prophet leads him in this symbolic act of deliverance. He tells Joash to pick up a bow, get some arrows, and then he further instructs him to stand before the open window and get ready to shoot an arrow out the window. The prophet, he's dying here, with great difficulty rises himself up and goes over to the king and puts his hands on the king's hands and then commands the king to shoot the arrow out the window. And then I believe with a loud and strong voice, Elisha proclaims, "That was the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." Elisha told Joash that the arrow represented not only deliverance, but also victory. It was not only deliverance, but it was going to be more than deliverance. It was going to be victory. All the years of oppression and humility, finally victory is in sight. Because we know, first of all, we know this because of the direction of the arrow. Which direction was the arrow shot out the window? Eastward. Eastward. It was toward the country beyond Jordan, which Hazael had taken from the Israelites. It was the arrow of deliverance from Syria. That is, as surely as that arrow is shot towards the lands conquered from Israel by the Syrians, so surely shall those lands be reconquered and restored to Israel. It actually was an ancient custom to cast an arrow, or to shoot an arrow, or to cast a spear into the country of which an invading army wanted to occupy. Justin says that as soon as Alexander the Great had arrived on the coast of Iona, he threw a dart into the country of the Persians. This was God saying, "This I'm going to do for you. This is the country that I have given you." And this symbolic act that the prophet led Joash and declared that the deliverance comes only from God, it was the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the word deliverance there is the same word that is translated Savior in verse 5. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 5 says, "And the Lord gave Israel a Savior." You could say a deliverer. The Lord gave Israel a deliverer. The Lord gave Israel a Savior so that they went out from the hand of the Syrians and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before time. So who will the Savior or the deliverance come by? Of course, it is Jehovah. He is the one, the Lord God of Israel, who would be their Savior, who would grant them the deliverance. He is the only Savior. We should seek deliverance only from the Lord and not the things of this world. Notice not only the direction of the arrow, but also the speed of the arrow. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 14. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the, what's that word? Lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. Verse 17, he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. Why is God's arrow called the arrow of deliverance? Because an arrow flies very fast. An arrow flies very quickly, like lightning across the sky. When the Lord of hosts sent his arrow, it moves like lightning to set people free, because many require urgent intervention. For instance, if God does not send that arrow within seconds, an accident could occur. Have you ever found yourself in a near accident situation? Have you ever been face to face with an accident? You called upon the name of the Lord. Maybe you just had time to say, help. And in that split second, the arrow of God's deliverance bullseyed, and you were miraculously delivered. I was thinking of George. Is that semi's pushing him down the highway? Sideways. How God sent the arrow of deliverance for George at that precise moment. It had to come quickly, or it might have been too late. I think there are many times that God shoots his arrow of deliverance into our lives, and we have no idea that he has done it. But time after time, he watches over his people. He protects his people. He is quick. He is swift to bring our deliverance. I'm so glad that he knows what we have need of even before we could ask him, because sometimes you can't even get the words out. And he's there. And he's working deliverance, and he's bringing salvation. He's working miracles. Matthew headed into the city of Minneapolis. It was bumper to bumper. He was praying and talking to the Lord. And the next minute, the Lord gave him a vision. In his vision, he saw a bridge collapsing. First it began to shake, and then it began to break through. He later in an interview said, I saw two cars go off the edge into the Mississippi. Then he said, as he's praying and he sees this vision, Lord, what is this all about? You need to talk to me. And God said, stop. He said, God told me to stop. I was 100 feet from the bridge. He said, you need to stop right there. I said, Lord, I can't stop here. There are cars behind me. He said, there were about 100 people in the line of traffic behind him. And when he stopped, many began honking their horns. God said, that's okay. Don't listen to them. You need to listen to me. You need to stop. So I stopped. And the Lord said, look. And he said, people were going around me about 20 feet away from the bridge. That's when it snapped. The bridge broke down and crashed. I saw two cars go off into the bridge. I was like, wow. At first, I was sitting in the car waiting, thanking the Lord, because it could have been me on that bridge. Then people came up to me and said, thank you. Could have been them on that bridge. He said, I got out and looked from the side at the collapse. It was a traumatic scene. What happened? And then the police told me to go back into my car and turn around. The interviewer asked Matthew, well, he was thinking about it the moment he saw the bridge began to break. He said, I was realizing that the Lord is awakening his people and saying, listen to me. You need to listen to me. I realized that if I hadn't listened to him, I wouldn't have gotten off the bridge. I would have taken the ride of my life. After that, I called my friend and told him I couldn't pick him up because the bridge broke through. Instead, I went to a Holy Spirit conference that was happening nearby. I think I would too, and worshiped the Lord. The interviewer then asked Matthew, as you look back at what God spared you from that day and what happened on the bridge, what immediately comes to mind? He said, when I look back, I realize the Lord has a calling for me, and he's preparing me to be obedient and ready, and to know it is time to roll, and to know who Jesus is. God's swift arrow came to Matthew as a vision. John Patton was a missionary. One night, hostile natives surrounded his mission station. They were intent on burning out the Pattons and killing them. Patton and his wife prayed like never before. Prayed during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers all of a sudden, for no reason at all, suddenly turn around and leave. A year later, the chief of that tribe was converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men in there?" Patton knew no men were present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission statement. Sometimes deliverance comes in the form of angels. You know, God has creative ways to bring deliverance. We should never put God in a box and expect that he's going to deliver us in a certain way. He works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. One of the most dramatic stories I ever heard was told by the Reverend E.P. Scott, who was a missionary in India. His friends had urged him not to venture out because there were certain barbarous inland tribes that were very dangerous, but he wanted to evangelize these tribes. So he went forth with high courage, never wavering in his duty and trusting in God to protect him. When he had finally arrived to their country, among the hills, he came upon a company of these savages. Immediately they surrounded him, pointing their spears at him with threatening scowls. He had nothing in his hand but a violin. Oh, God's weapons are different sometimes. He took out his violin, closed his eyes, and began to play and sing that great hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." When he got to the stanza where it says, "Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball," he took a peek and he saw those savages, those barbarians, drop their spears and their weapons and fall to the ground. His life had been spared by the singing of a hymn. The spears had dropped. They received him with curiosity at first and interest, and later with eagerness as he told them the gospel story and won their hearts to the will of Jesus Christ. Confronted by 450 angry priests of Baal, Elijah needed some kind of deliverance, and he needed it quickly. So he set up this contest. And he challenged the people, "If God is God, let's worship him. But if Baal's God, then go ahead and serve him." And so he said, "Let's set up the sacrifice. Let's call upon our gods. And the one that answers by fire, he's the real God." The prophets of Baal tried their best. They prayed. They cut themselves. They thought he would be taken by the blood of their sacrifice. And I don't know what all, but they just tried all day long to get his attention. And the fire never fell. And then Elijah steps up there and in just a few words asks God to show himself strong on his behalf. And the fire comes out. The arrow falls in the form of fire and burns the sacrifice. Consumes not only the sacrifice, but the dust and the water that had filled the trench as well. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, deliverance had to come quickly. It would not have taken long for those hungry beasts to devour Daniel. But God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. He sent the angel, he sent the arrow of his angel speedily to shut the mouth of those lions. Do you know that? I don't know how long it would have taken to devour him. Just a few minutes. But if you read Daniel chapter 6 and verse 24, it says that the lions tore to pieces and crunched the bones of those that had been thrown in after accusing Daniel. They didn't even hit the bottom. and they were destroyed. God's deliverance comes quickly. Are you in urgent need of deliverance? The Lord will command deliverance for you. To receive it fast, call on His name, as David did in Psalm 31, verses 1 and 2. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Call upon His name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Can I tell you, you need to stay out of sin, though? You really do, because God will only send His arrow of deliverance to His righteous ones. And this is why it's so important to make sure that as you are walking with the Lord, your life is right at all times. And even when the enemy holds tight, God will replace you with a ransom. God is never late. Call now. Action point number 2. Open the window of heaven. Ask God to send forth His arrow of deliverance into your situation and to shoot His arrow against all your oppressors, and ask Him to do it swiftly. Ask Him to do it quickly. Can we just pause here? Let's pray. God, Heavenly Father, we need deliverance. Lord, we call upon You to send forth Your arrow of deliverance into our individual and our particular situations. Lord, that You would shoot Your arrow against all of our oppressors, those who want to hurt us, those who want to do harm. Lord, that You would shoot Your arrow at them, and Lord, that You would send this arrow, and that would come very swiftly, very quickly, even as lightning shines across the sky. Lord, use whatever means You have at Your disposal to bring quick deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have one more point. I will hurry here. Point number C is the hand of deliverance. Number 3, the hand of deliverance. We have the God of deliverance, the arrow of deliverance, and then the hand of deliverance. What is significant about Elisha putting his hand upon the hand of the king as he draws back that bow and shoots that arrow? It signifies the source of the prophet's authority, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was empowering the king as he shot the arrow towards Syria. We need God's hand on our lives. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, then it cannot save," or we could again use that word deliver. "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot deliver, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." God can reach down His hand and touch you and touch your situation. The anointing that you need in your life is available from the hand of the Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ever heard of Ira Sankey? He was a soloist for D.L. Moody. He was on a steamship one day and was asked to sing. He sang the song, "Savior Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." Somebody called him over to the table after he was done singing and said, "Sir, did you ever serve in the military?" He said, "Yes, sir, served on the Union side." 1862, "Yes, sir." I was in the military in 1862. "Were you ever in such and such a place?" Ira Sankey said, "Yes, I was." He said, asked him, "Did you ever pull guard duty?" "Yeah, he did. Yes, I did." "Well, let me tell you a story. It was a moonlit night. I was a Confederate. I had you in my sights. You were on guard duty that night. You thought that you were all by yourself. You stood under that open heaven. And then you began to sing that song that you sang tonight, 'Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.' As you began to sing, I thought, I'll wait until he's finished the song and then I'll take him out. You finished singing that song and I couldn't take you out even then. You sounded like an angel." And then he said, "Sir, Would you tell me about the Savior that will gently lead us? Deliverance to Ira Sankey came that night as the hand of the Holy Spirit came upon his singing, his worship to God. God has many ways that he can bring deliverance. He wants to bring deliverance into your life and into your situation. He wants to shoot his arrow. He wants to stretch out his hand. He wants to anoint you. He wants to show himself strong. Would you simply be open and welcome to his deliverance? We have one more thing that I would like us to do. Open the window of heaven. Another action point here. Ask God to stretch forth his hand of deliverance into your situation and to empower you against all your oppressors. That whatever it is that God has gifted you with, that those giftings would be anointed by his Spirit to touch not only your life, to bring deliverance not only into your life, but into the lives of others. Let's bow together. Father, we ask this morning that you would open the window of heaven, that you would stretch forth your hand of salvation, your hand of deliverance into these, your people's situations today, and that, Lord, you would empower them against all their oppressors. Take their gifts, take their abilities, touch them with your Spirit, anoint them like they've never been anointed before, that you could bring deliverance to them and to others. Thank you that you are a God of deliverance. We praise you. We bless you. We bless your name. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen. These arrows were pledges of deliverance and victory from God. They are God's pledges of his deliverance. Next time we will look at our part in our deliverance.